This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Let's hear more about the presenting sponsor.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Hooters is wonderful to me. Of course, I am based in the Tampa Bay area where Hooters was born. 12 original Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, for those of you listening around the state of Florida, around the United States, around the world. I believe you are familiar with the Hooters concept. It's very simple. It's hot wings, cold beer, served by the world-famous Hooters girls, and the 2019 calendar featuring our friend Ty from the Hillsborough Avenue location in Tampa. She waited on us for our podcast drafts back in August. She's in the 2019 calendar. So check it out. Thank you to Hooters for their sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. All right, I always like to tell you when I'm taping these podcasts so you don't think I purposely ignored something, all right? So I'm taping this 1 hour before the Patriots-Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. I want to enjoy the game, and by the time that game ends and we get done tallying fantasy points, be pretty darn late. And I want you to have access to this podcast early enough on Monday. So nothing on the Sunday Night game hasn't been played yet. I wish I could do a podcast giving you the fantasy results from a game that hasn't been played yet. We'd be the most popular fantasy podcast out there. Can't do that. So nothing from Chiefs-Patriots as we're recording the podcast before that game kicks off. And obviously, the Monday night game is still yet to be played with the Packers taking on whatever is left of the San Francisco 49ers offense. Even the Fantasy Football Now show that I watch every Sunday morning on ESPN2 until they banish that show to ESPN Plus, where none of us can see it, as they did Matthew Berry's daily fantasy show on weekdays. Even they were sort of saying, what do the Niners have? So let's just review everything that has happened sort of Thursday through the Sunday afternoon games, not only the 1 o'clock games, but the late afternoon games. And I'm going to do it just by going through sort of the fantasy leaders with two games left in the week and just make comments off of that. This is also an example of how fantasy football is an exact science. Not sure it's a skill or not, because let me give you an example. All right. I would imagine. How am I going to do this? Okay. I can make the case that the number one, the number two, the number four, and the number five fantasy quarterbacks going into the Sunday night game and before the Monday night game, were not in your lineups. They may not have been on your roster, and if they were, they were on your bench. All right, at running back, a little bit different there, but I can make a case that maybe the fifth best running back wasn't on your roster, and unless you made a late move based on an 11:30 a.m. inactive, this was a guy who's probably sitting on the waiver wire or went on and off the waiver wire in recent weeks. Same case could be made for the 6th, 7th, 8th best back in fantasy scoring going into the Sunday and Monday night games. Wide receiver, the number one, the number two, the number three wide receivers in fantasy points, as we speak right now before the Sunday and Monday night games, week 6, I doubt they were in anyone's lineup. And I'll double down and say, in most cases, they weren't on anyone's team. And I'm not sure you're making them a waiver claim this coming week. We'll talk about them. Tight ends, for those of you who still have the mandatory must-play tight end league that you need to change in 2019, get with it. I changed this in the league I commissioned in 2015, making the tight end completely optional. Make it a flex with a wide receiver only. That's the only place you can play a tight end, which means you never even have to bother with the tight end all season long if you don't want. But I'll make the case that the number four tight end and the number six tight end were not on anyone's rosters, let alone in anyone's starting lineup. And maybe even the top kicker or two going into the Sunday night games and Monday night games, the top two kickers in fantasy scoring this week going into the Sunday and Monday night games weren't on anyone's roster, weren't in anyone's starting lineup. Yeah. So, and that's reflected also in how you win tournaments in daily games, because in these tournaments, you take flyers on guys that are played by such a small percentage of other players. And if they hit, you make money. Season long leagues, though, I don't expect some of these guys that I talked about, and I will identify all of them here in this podcast. We'll talk about if there's any meaning to it going forward. Okay, so let's start with the quarterback position. Jameis Winston, number one. Again, all these numbers going into the Sunday night game, Patriots-Chiefs, and Monday night game, Packers, what's left of the 49ers. Winston, number one in fantasy scoring. Don't imagine any of you played him. Credit ESPN Fantasy Football Now. They ranked him as QB9. Going into action today. That's also independent of Wentz and Eli aren't in those rankings because they had already played on Thursday. Dak Prescott, I don't imagine many of you played him against the Jaguar defense. Cowboys throttle the Jags. The old Blake Bortles is back, and so are the old Jaguars. They've been demolished the last 2 weeks on the road. If they are coddling Fournette, it's caught up to them. Dak Prescott, number two. Don't imagine many of you roster him or started him at maybe in a two quarterback league, but probably not in the matchup against the Jags. Matt Ryan was number three. We talked in the Bucks bulletin. When you get two bad fantasy, what's better than one bad fantasy defense in a game? Two bad fantasy defenses in the game. Number one and number three scoring fantasy quarterbacks. Going into the Sunday night or Monday night games from the Bucks-Falcon game. Winston 1, Ryan 3. Trubisky 4. Yeah, I actually have him now, and I played him today in a two-quarterback league. It did pay off. And I think if Matt Nagy got a little bit more aggressive with his play calling and utilized Trubisky and schemed something up, on a late third down before a missed field goal, Bears win that game. He didn't trust Trubisky. He didn't trust himself. And Bears lose that game because he got ultra-conservative and assumed the field goal, and the field goal was missed. Trubisky, though, number four. Brock Osweiler was number five. None of you had him, right? Less than any other guy I'm going to mention. There wasn't a soul out there. Maybe in a daily game someone did it, because how inexpensive was Osweiler in daily? This was a late switch we learned about in the morning. Osweiler put up the fifth best fantasy scoring for quarterbacks going into the Sunday night and Monday night game. Carson Wentz was sixth. Cam was seven. That's the interesting thing about Cam. His team can even have a bad game, and Cam still puts up great fantasy numbers. Luck was eight in a bad game for him against the Jets. Russell Wilson, probably his best game, nine. Now Wilson goes on a bye. There has been some talk that Wilson has been hurt by a hamstring injury, which is why he's playing through it. Then he has a week to rest on the bye. This was a better game for him in a better matchup, and he produced a top nine fantasy result. Again, pre-Sunday night, Monday night, and Big Ben was 10. Didn't get numbers out of Goff. I just watched the end of that game as Denver gets the backdoor cover. Watch that show up on the Bad Beat segment, which was done years ago by Nick Bakay, called Nick's Nightmares. Look, I know you guys like Van Pelt. I do too. Same with Stanford Steve and his podcast with the Bear. There's nothing new about the segment. Nick Bakay was doing it 15 years ago, was doing the same Nick's Nightmares. Goff didn't produce. Mariota was a disaster. How often do I keep telling you guys the Titans are not fantasy relevant? Barely worth rostering people on the Titans. They were dreadful. And while in the podcast leagues, we still do start a DST, Ravens without a return touchdown, with, I believe, without a turnover. Didn't have a turnover. So there was no pick six. There was no scoop and score. Ravens DST. 21 points. Got 10 for the shutout, 11 sacks, 21 points, no turnovers, no touchdowns. Wow. That's how bad Tennessee is. So, all right, so get into running backs. Gurley, number one, I think he finished around 34 fantasy points. It's really amazing how the difference between if you picked first and second this year, because I would imagine in virtually every league, if you picked first, you took Gurley. If you picked second, you took Le'Veon Bell. I would imagine that's the way it went. The person who took Gurley, and we're through 6 weeks here, minimum is 4-2. Minimum, probably might be 5-1, might be 6-0. But I'm going to say most teams that took, most people that had got the first pick and took Gurley, you're 4-2 minimum. You took Bell, I'd say maximum. You've made up the loss of the RB1 points to be 3-3, probably looking more at 2-4 or worse. In the league I commissioned, in the 10-team foundation league that I commissioned, the guy who had the number one pick took Gurley. He's going to be, I think, 4-2. Yeah, I think 4-2. The person that took Bell, already in the books, 0-6. Didn't help that one of his picks that followed was Mark Ingram, who wasn't eligible for the first four games. That's not a good draft. But Gurley, number one, even in an game for the Rams, Gurley produced two touchdowns and, 200 yards rushing. Melvin Gordon's been terrific. One of the best, in terms of delivering RB1 value, and on some draft boards, I think Melvin Gordon slid behind guys like Fournette, Joe Mixon. Trying to think of who else he may have slid behind in some leagues. Trying to make a case for another running back, just thinking of some mock drafts. But Gordon has been outstanding. Was again today in a romp against the Browns, number two among fantasy scores at running back for week six prior to the Sunday and Monday games, and Gurley got him by like all of 1 point. Saquon Barkley with Eli not wanting to get touched and Eli just wanting to get the ball, throw the check down. Barkley has been producing RB1 numbers all year on a bad team. Only highlight for the Giants from the Thursday night game. James Conner, second straight strong game in a row. Amidst talk, Le'Veon Bell is planning his return. Conner, again, justifies having the job going forward or maintaining his share of the job, as the Steelers are publicly saying. Conner with roughly 25 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Murray at, and these are the numbers that were on Red Zone on NFL Network. I don't know if they're standard or PPR. Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook made inactive at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Murray produces first time this season, produced, and for the fifth highest number. Then we go Ezekiel Elliott, continues to deliver the quality rushing yards and getting in the end zones. Collins got in the end zone a couple of times for the Ravens and their shutout of the Titans. We told you earlier in the week in the Bucs bulletin that the Bucs would use Peyton Barber in this game. We told you. Hope you listened. Plug and play worked out to the tune of roughly 16-17 fantasy points. Tariq Cohen gets in the end zone again for the Bears. He delivers, and Joe Mixon with a solid game as the 10th highest fantasy performer. Wide receiver, Albert Wilson. I call Adam Gase a fantasy killer. Tannehill can't go. Osweiler goes in. The Dolphins win this high-scoring game against the Bears. And there was nothing you can look back and say, yeah, I should have done. No. No. You weren't going to pick up Brock Osweiler and play him. You weren't going to play Frank Gore. 100 yards rushing and I believe a score. Right? Or at least 100 yards rushing. Kenyon Drake fumbles on the 1 yard line to win the game late. And the Dolphins still end up winning in OT. Albert Wilson is the leading fantasy wide receiver with a couple of huge plays. Yeah. It's like Adam Gase hates fantasy football, and it's like he's purposely screwing how there's a connection between actual football and fantasy football. I've never seen anything like this. So it's not like you can run to the waiver wire, pick up Albert Wilson, and he'll produce for you next week. It doesn't work that way. Not with Wilson and not with most Dolphins. Tyrell Williams bubbles up again. He's done this before in San Diego. As I keep saying Jared Allen, Keenan Allen's numbers have dropped off a bit. It's gone from Mike Williams to Tyrell Williams now, number two in wide receiver scoring going into the Sunday and Monday night games. Cole Beasley. If Dak's going to put up all those numbers, granted, most of it was Dak rushing the ball, but Cole Beasley was on the receiving end. I don't remember Cole Beasley ever doing this in fantasy. He usually has a low ceiling and also is just a really good player for the Cowboys that doesn't translate to fantasy success. Not this week. Beasley was number three. Alshon Jeffrey, four. Adam Thielen, rock solid and consistent, number five. Tyler Boyd, if you drafted him in your season-long league, I shake your hand. And he has been out. I can't believe I'm saying this. He's one of the biggest surprises of the fantasy season, and it's kind of quiet. But if you're a Tyler Boyd owner, if you drafted him and then you started playing him, like what, week two, three, four, you can't get him out of the lineup now. His game was basically as good as Thielen's. Emmanuel Sanders comes through with a decent game in Denver's backdoor cover against the Rams. Antonio Brown, good enough with that late touchdown for the Steelers. Michael Crabtree has his best game. John Brown only got a couple of targets. Crabtree with a good game. Willie Snead was targeted quite a bit for the Ravens in that game. And Julio Jones, 143 yards. Nope. No touchdowns. 143 yards, though, against the Buccaneers. We've talked about the tight ends. Chris Herndon was the obscure one, fourth highest scoring tight end going into the Sunday and Monday night games. Quickly, do you even know who Chris Herndon plays for? Did you even know Chris Herndon was an NFL player? Jets, because Darnold threw three scores. Two good games in a row, not only for the Jets, but for Darnold. Tell you, and when the Jets get their pass defense dialed up, they can get some turnovers going. Nick O'Leary, the former Florida State Seminole in Buffalo. And the minute the Bills had to put J.P. Peterman in the game, you know he'd blow the game. He did with a pick six and then immediately with another pick to end the game. But Nick O'Leary stood out for the Bills. If you were desperate for a tight end, I doubt you threw the dart at Nick O'Leary, but he was sixth among scoring tight ends going into the Sunday and Monday night game. And the top two kickers, Myers for the Jets and Brett Maher for the Cowboys. For those of you that are very critical of Jerry Jones, I just like to remind all of you of a number of things. I know going into, I think it was last year's draft, of the previous 10 years, no team had drafted more Pro Bowlers than the Cowboys. Jerry is the GM. And for those of you who said, yeah, Jerry clearly made a mistake dumping Dez Bryant. Well, the Cowboys are 3-3 and playing very hard. And there was actually a really good play by Michael Gallup where he just couldn't get the second foot down. Point being, if Dez was worth a shit, he'd be in the league. He doesn't have a job. There are 31 places Dez could play if he was good enough to play and had the right attitude. Where is he? He's sitting on social media taking shots. And then Jerry dumps Dan Bailey after Dan had a very rough end of last year after an injury. And if you haven't noticed, Dallas's kicker, yeah, it's pretty good. Easy to take your shots at Jerry Jones, isn't it? Ironically, a lot of stuff he does seems to work out. Go ahead, say it. They haven't won a Super Bowl in 23 years. Agreed. Could say that about a number of teams. But I'm just pointing out three other things there about Jerry that most people either don't know or they ignore. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember, the golf tournament is filling up. We're 2 weeks away from Todd Wright Tour XVII. Todd Wright Tour 17, I'm subtitling it, The Need for Speed. Everyone, when they play hole number 9 and everyone, when they play hole number 18, will be given an automatic par. The only thing I'm going to score on those holes as a separate contest is how quickly you can get one ball off the tee and in the cup as a team of four. Team of four playing one ball. Not four balls like the normal scramble on those holes, one ball. How quickly can you get it off the tee, start the clock, in the cup, we stop the clock. Todd Wright Tour 17, The Need for Speed. Some terrific prizes. I'm going to feed you lunch, dinner. You're going to get shirts. It's going to be like going to a Lightning playoff game where, well, what they used to do when they used to give out shirts. And you go to your seat and there's a shirt on it. As you go to your seat in the cart when you arrive at the tournament, there'll be a shirt on it. That's courtesy of my friends at Brandon Legal Group. We have room for individual golfers, twosomes, threesomes, foursomes. Got a call from my man Big Stein's Deli on 4th Street in North St. Pete saying, hey, we're going to play. Fantastic. So Stein's coming out. Brandon Legal Group's coming out. Monster Energy's coming out. Papa John's is coming out. You don't need to have a company team. You can. And I'll give you a shout out. Just get your individuals together. Also, speaking of golf tournaments, my compliments to Stan and Reese Across America for a very well-organized, well-done golf tournament at Plantation Palms over the weekend. Todd Wright Tour 17 is at West Chase Golf Club for only $68 per player, and you can register right now online at joebucksfan.com/golf, joebucksfan.com/golf, or email me for more information on the golf tournament at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. If you have any football questions, send them to toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Again, I finished this podcast so I can enjoy the Sunday night game. I have some things in the league I commission where I'm undefeated that have to happen in the Sunday night game to give me a shot to stay undefeated. They're probably not going to happen. If it's a Kelce game and not a Tyreek game, I got a shot. If it's a Tyreek game and not a Kelce game, I don't have a shot. It was a Tyreek game in the opener. It's been Kelce games ever since. We'll see. Oh, and my opponent has Sony Michel. A little banged up, but he's had two good games in a row. All right, remember, Bucks Bulletin midweek, and then another fantasy football podcast to preview Week 7 Sunday and Monday later this week. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.